about him shaken, not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm the king of the world!
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
What's up, film fans? Happy Thursday, moviegoers. Welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, and I'm joined here with Ed.
Hey, what's up, folks?
So, Ed, how you doing today?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Exciting, as we just are freshly off the heels of a massive big Black Widow episode. I had fun with it, man. I thought it was a good movie. It lived up to the hype, but after a year and a half wait, can it really live up to the full expectations? I don't think so, but I mean, I think it was a fun film. I had fun watching it at home and in the theater.
There you go. I actually got to watch it on the go, for that matter. So, and I did get to watch all of it, you know, in one sitting and all that. So that was nice. I've got to say, I really actually liked it quite a bit.
I think this is going to be, you know, Black Widow was a fun movie. If you haven't, go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. It's also in theaters. It is now the biggest opening film since Bad Boys 3 since January 2020.
So crazy.
Go check it out. It's well worth the watch. Today, though, it is Thursday. Thank you for staying up late with us as we are doing a 9 p.m. now start for these episodes. If you're checking it out on Friday morning, good Friday morning to you guys. A24, we continue to talk some A24 movies. Today, we talk The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Another first watch for you, right, Ed?
Yeah, it actually is. What made you want to do this movie?
Man, honestly, this is going to be kind of a tough conversation for me to probably go through.
Okay.
But the reason that I wanted to talk about this movie was I remember this being an A24 movie that I'm, like, unsure of.
Okay.
I watched it for the first time. So I bought this in 2017 when it came out. I watched it just one time, and I remember just being glued to it and not moving. I was almost paralyzed like the little kids were. I sat there, watched it, and then it was over, and I was just like, what the hell did I just get done watching? And I was just completely confused about it, and I was baffled, but I was also awed at the or amazed at just the pure dialogue written of the movie, or some of the scenes where the actors are just so possessed, if you will. It's a fun word to use, possessed by their characters to where they just were entwined with the dialogue.
Right.
So I was like, you know, thinking, you know, doing this A24 series now, doing almost 2 months of it now, I'm like, I wonder if I can get somebody else to watch this. And I wonder what their take on this movie would be. So, you know, some of these A24 movies are just out there, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let's see what Ed thinks. Or Zach. You know, we might see what Zach thinks about this on Monday. But yeah, I was like, let's see what he says. Let's see what he thinks. So congratulations, Ed. You were selected to watch The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which you guys can check out on Netflix as well. It has a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, 80% Rotten Tomatoes, and a 73% Metascore. It was, it's got a cast of Colin Farrell, Nicole Kidman, Barry Keoghan, Rafi Cassidy, Alicia Silverstone, Sonny Slujic, who is also, we talked mid-90s a few weeks ago. He's the main kid in mid-90s. So yeah, The Killing of a Sacred Deer is what we're talking about today on this series of A24 films. It had a budget of... So yeah, it had a November 3rd, 2017 release and a budget, or a box office gross of over $7 million. What do you think, man? First thoughts. We're going to talk about it. We're going to just dig right into it. We'll talk a little bit of extra stuff a little bit later on. But what did you think? Steven, a charismatic surgeon, is forced to make an unthinkable sacrifice after his life starts to fall apart when the behavior of a teenage boy he has taken under his own wing turns sinister.
Man, this movie is a strange, strange movie. Like, in all honesty, it wasn't hard to watch, but your thoughts, or at least mine did, take so many different turns. It's crazy, to be honest. It really is.
You said it wasn't a hard watch. What do you mean by that?
Like, it wasn't...
Did it flow easy for you, or were you just sitting there waiting for this thing to end?
No, it's not really that. It's kind of what was next. What's next? What's next? Why? How is this happening? What is going on here? Why is this... You know, it kind of... I wouldn't say kept you on the edge of your seat, but it kept you wanting to know more about what happened, or at least it did me, for that matter. So,
what did you think of the boy?
Creepier than shit.
Played by Barry Keoghan, who stars as Martin.
Creepy as hell.
Yeah?
Yeah. Very, very, very creepy. I think he played the character very, very well. I think Barry did a wonderful job. But it's just the character... I don't know. Like, a lot of this didn't seem to have kind of the thought behind the words, if that makes sense. Because it's just like the dialogue's there, and the dialogue's decent. But it didn't seem to... Like, the way... I guess that the director wanted it, they didn't seem to have much emotion behind any of it. Because, you know, and I mean, this is skipping a little bit later, so if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry.
Which, go back, go and check it out, man. We're just having a conversation about the killing of a sacred deer, which you can now watch on Netflix. For how long, I don't know, because we'll talk about a little bit of the news that broke earlier in the week that Apple TV is looking to acquire A24.
Oh, nice.
For a lump sum of just a little over $3 billion. I don't know how I feel about this.
I was about to say, I know you're kind of going to be pissed off because you don't want it to get fucked up.
A lot of these movies are hit and misses, but to me, they have all been, I'm going to call them sevens. Okay. I there's hardly been an A24 film that isn't a good watch for me. Out of probably the 70 that I own, probably four or five of them are just like, yeah, I may not ever pick that up again.
Right.
But I'm just like, and you can't really call them independent, I guess, anymore, because if they're looking to sell for $4 billion, that's doesn't sound like an independent promotion.
No, not
or an
at
independent
all.
Movie company. And they've won so many awards, they're just, I don't know, but I hope if Apple does acquire them, I hope they just stay back and still let them make great movies. I don't know. I know Apple was pretty upset that MGM got acquired by Paramount. Or not Paramount, but...
Universal?
No.
No.
After Amazon bought MGM, because Apple was looking to acquire them as well. So I think Apple needs this purchase.
So literally, it paid $8.45 billion. For MGM Studios.
But the thing I don't get is, like, in that purchase, Amazon didn't get anything. They didn't get any of the digital library prior to 1986. So some of that older stuff, like, you know, The Wizard of Oz and some of those older MGM movies, Amazon didn't get the acquiring for. Warner Brothers still owns those, which is, I guess, now on HBO Max. So, anyway, but yeah, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, I thought that this movie was probably the strangest. I thought Midsommar and The Witch was strange.
Or even Antichrist or The Lighthouse, even.
Well, Antichrist is not A24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, or even The Lighthouse. Okay, I'll take that out.
which, yeah, I don't know. I think this movie just is misunderstood. What do you think?
I don't think it's misunderstood. I do think it's kind of just... I think you'll... This needs a few viewings. It really does. Because, I mean,
I've seen it four times. I'm still sometimes like, what the fuck? Like, and it says mystery, horror, drama. Do you think the boy like possessed? Does he have kind of like some extra powers? Because let's just dive right into it. He's crazy. He's wacko. He's fucked up.
I don't think he's crazy. There's something psychotic about it. That's true. But I don't think he's truly crazy.
So he pretty much blackmails.
Yeah.
100%. He blackmails Colin Farrell's character.
Steven. Yeah.
And not only does he kind of blackmail him, but he does blackmail him, but he...
It's blackmail to go ahead and get with his mother.
Yes.
So with Martin's mother, or Barry, the character played by Barry, Alicia Silverstone's character for that matter.
He wants Steven to pretty much become his dad. He wants Steven to get with his mom and pretty much that father figure.
As he feels is righting a wrong, yeah. For that matter.
He feels like it's his fault that his dad died, so he feels like he should come in and just play daddy. Which...
I mean...
Colin Farrell, let's break it down right quick. Colin Farrell is a surgeon.
Yeah.
And...
He has a family with Nicole Kidman.
Martin's dad passed away after a car accident, right?
Yes.
Which...
Well, they don't... Okay, so there's not a whole lot of speculation.
We just know he died, and yeah. Colin Farrell was the surgeon.
Because there's like three different stories.
So we'll leave it at that. And Colin Farrell was the surgeon. His Barry's dad died.
Yeah.
Or Martin's dad died.
Yeah.
And so now you have him kind of saying, hey, come hang out with my mom. Come have dinner with us. I'm going to go to bed. Screw your brains out. Become my new dad.
Basically, I mean, in all honesty, it was more leading on to that.
And then you have this whole thing is just a strange conversation, because now you have Nicole Kidman, who is Anna. She doesn't really know that much about the boy.
No, he's brand new to her when he comes to her or their house for a dinner one night. And she basically is like, how long have you known him? He's like, for a few years. And she's like, well, you know, kind of. How did you meet the boy? And basically he says that, you know, his father was a patient of mine and all that shit. And basically, you know, his dad died in a car wreck or a car crash, hit a pole and it killed him instantly. You know, so there's a version of the death, supposedly, at least. Then you've got him telling her that, you know, he basically like just hangs out with him from time to time.
They usually go to that diner and have like dinner or something.
Yeah.
Which I found very, very strange. At first, yeah. I told you that I thought they were like...
That he was basically...
He was like a predator.
To the boy. Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like there's several different scenes that kind of give that away. And at first, I hated the boy. I hated Barry's character, Martin. I really did. And I still don't really like him. He's a creepy, creepy little bastard. You know,
as the movie went on, did you kind of turn backwards and start hating Colin Farrell's character?
Not as the movie ended, but since I've been thinking about it here and there, I've kind of, because, okay, I basically watched the movie and I've kind of looked into some of the director's interviews over this movie, as well as some of the characters or some of the people such as Barry, the one that played the daughter as well.
And I'm going to butcher the hell out of this name, but the director's name is Yorgos Lanthimos. Let me try it.
No, I think you got it right. Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah.
Lanthimos.
I don't know. We'll kind of look into some of his... He directed The Lobster. Okay, so that makes sense. He directed The Killing of a Sacred Deer. He directed The Favorite. So there's three A24 movies right there.
Him and Colin Farrell have actually worked before. So
Lobster.
Okay, so yeah, he was excited to get to work with him again, and he feels it builds that relationship and that bond. So, but I've got to say, like, you know, all these characters, they have their roles, they play them decently. It's a very strange movie, And I don't think a lot of people are going to give it a chance, truthfully, just because of how.
Were you surprised at how high some of the ratings were for this movie?
Artistically, no. As in just a movie that is just that great movie, kinda. Yeah, I'm not going to lie on that. Just because, like, this is not like, God, what was the Ben Affleck and the woman, oh my God.
Gone Girl?
Yeah, Gone Girl. You know, like, that one was a very intense, dramatic movie. I've seen that in theaters, actually.
I will say, you know, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, if it did not have the score that it has,
this, it would lose
this,
a lot.
This kind of gives you that. And I know I might get some hate or some flack for putting this in that genre, but if it wasn't for that score, would this has a horror feel to it.
I don't know. This kind of just has a... Okay,
especially
so,
when it gets closer to the ending. Do you feel like this is a horror movie?
No.
No?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, honestly, this is like the baby version of Don't Breathe. Like...
Wrong movie. I
know.
Would say.
I know what you mean. I mean, the ending of it feels a bit more like that because of what Colin Farrell's
character. I didn't enjoy the ending.
Not really.
And I know
it just,
we'll get to it.
Yeah.
It's
a very strange talk, man.
It is.
And that's why, because.
But that's why I wanted to do this, because I'm like, surely, as I'm sitting here in 2017 to now, what is that, 4 or 5 years?
4 years. Yeah.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, would this be a movie to talk about? And here it is. I have it on the schedule, Killing of a Sacred Deer. It's one of those. And I mean, since we started this, we've done Swiss Army Man, mid 90s, Spring Breakers, Moonlight, Killing of a Sacred Deer. So it's kind of one of those things that's like, you know, that's kind of why, like, last year we did Midsommar, Lighthouse, Ex Machina.
But see, Midsommar is a very, very good movie. I really like that one. It is strange. 100% true, but I do like that one. This one, on the other hand, is just strange. And I mean, I've never seen The Lobster, so I don't know. And I don't know Yorgos's work very well at all. This is my first even knowing about him. But he seems to be kind of the one that likes to kind of make you think what the story is, not really just
and
give you the story.
You've seen some strange, gross shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I went... don't get me wrong. I like stuff like that.
I don't mind it.
Because I feel like if you have to... If you can display that on paper and then put that paper onto a screen and then direct it, you're a pretty talented motherfucker.
Or at least you've got a good vision of what you like, what you want, what you're trying to convey to... Your audience, not the audience, but your audience.
Directors like this and movies like this, they're not putting this out there for somebody who's going to go see a Marvel movie every week.
No.
They're putting this out there because they know what their audience is.
I was about to say, A24 is a very specific thought, for that matter. And it's not necessarily that you're just the...
It's not just something anybody can do.
Well, that's true, too. But it's not just going to be an Omega... altruistic artistic person. It's not like that. However, you are going to have to understand and appreciate what it is to actually understand what it is.
So do you think the boy puts a spell on the family, or how can you really make up? So pretty much Colin Farrell is like, I'm not gonna sleep with your mom, I'm happily married, I'm staying away from you, I think you should leave.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to see you again.
And then he starts hanging out with the kids a lot.
Yeah. So the boy, Martin, comes and starts talking really fast, almost like tongue.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much it. That's why I thought he put a spell on the family.
Maybe he did. I mean, honestly.
He's talking to him really fast, and he says that, you know, right before they die, they're going to start bleeding, crying blood.
Well, okay. So, the boy becomes paralyzed. What's his name? Sonny's name. Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, the little boy, becomes paralyzed. He's like a 10-year-old, you know, and he's got a sister who's 14.
And then she becomes Kim. Paralyzed.
She becomes paralyzed. In between those two, though, he talks to Martin, and he's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to leave me, my family, and everything alone. I know, but, like, I don't know what's going on. And he tells them, you know, that the first stage is paralyzation. The second stage, they will refuse to eat, so they'll become starved. And the third stage is bleeding from the eyes. By that stage, it's too late. The next is they've got, like, hours to live, is literally what he says. So he said between the first and third stage, you need to choose who dies. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you need to choose who dies between Kim, Bob, and your and Anna, your wife. You need
but to the choose wife, who dies. Did the wife never get, she never started getting any of the,
No.
She's just part of the game, if you will.
Well, basically,
I know it's kind of sick to put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, basically it was going Bob, then Kim, then her.
But the wife never got any of the symptoms.
No. Because I think her coming to talk to him and him getting to kind of push out what he wanted to talk about. And then on top of that, you know, her saying, I don't really think it's fair, me having to take the punishment for his bullshit. You know, kind of, I don't know, it kind of pushes him to say, okay, maybe I don't need to get her involved in this. But on top of that, you know, he sees the love that the kids have for their father. And I think that's part of what drags this on to it. I don't know if it's a spell or like, I don't know what the hell he did, you know, but part of that, the kid is doing something supernatural or something otherworldly, basically. Like, that is true on that.
So, guys, go and check us out. Like I said, we just got done doing a Black Widow giveaway. Tyler won our giveaway. He was able to sit and watch Black Widow on the IMAX with us, winning a free ticket. He also got to get a $50 San Marcos gift certificate, and he got a bag full of goodies, a bag full of random Blu-rays, and he got two posters from us. Thank you to all of our sponsors that helped out with this giveaway. I know this is supposed to be an ad-free show, but CDR Electronics, San Marcos, everybody who helped out. It was a great giveaway. If you guys want to win stuff like that in the future, go visit our social media. The Facebook page is facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast, or just Facebook search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, and we pop right up. In there, you also will find our link tree. It's link.ee/CinnamonMoviePodcast. You can also send us a message. The phone number is on there. Give us a text. Leave a voicemail, 405-590-5711. Leave us an email. We send and we you know, talk to you guys through the email. We also read a very big, girthy email bag every single Monday. The email is cinemen921@gmail.com. That's cinemen921@gmail.com. In that link tree, you can find all of our platforms that we're on. You can go back and listen to all kinds of episodes that we have back in the archives. Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. So go check it out. The Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast, and then the Twitter is @Cinnamon405. So link up, find us on social media, and win some free, awesome prizes. We're going to be doing a Suicide Squad giveaway, and then we're going to be doing another big, huge giveaway for James Bond in October. So check it out, the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. We have shows every Monday and Thursday. Mondays, we have our two-hour episodes, guys, so you guys can listen to a whole bunch of stuff that we talk through throughout the week. And then Thursdays, we have a little 45-minute to an hour conversation of right now we're going through our 90 days of A24. After this, we're going to be talking about anything you guys want. Send us some emails, give us some recommendations, and we're going to review them. All right, let's get back to the movie. And again, if you guys want to check this out, The Killing of a Sacred Deer is on Netflix. So go check it out, and then email us what you think about the movie, and we'll read it on our next episode on Mondays. What do you think of them hard tying the kid up pretty much and just keeping him down in the basement? And they literally like beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. I think that's a move of desperation, you know, cause literally, I mean, honestly, and the kid's an asshole. He almost feels like he has control of the entire situation.
He does.
I was about to say, cause in ways he does, but like he's arrogant about it. All arrogant about it. You know, even to the point where he just bit off a chunk of his own damn flesh. Like it wasn't shit. Just like, oh well, you know, I guess we better
take a bite out of his arm and spit it at Colin Farrell.
Well, no, he bites Colin Farrell's arm.
Right.
And he bites his own damn arm, tears it, and yeah, it does the exact what you said. It's just like, oh, we've got a bond now since we're both marked the same. Like, you little psychotic bastard. You know? But I mean, that's where it is kind of truly a psycho right there. Like, you're dealing with a psychopath right there because he doesn't really give a shit.
Let's talk about Barry Keoghan so far. He's one of those actors we'll go through and see if there's been a lot of stuff that you've seen him in.
Probably.
It looks like the very first big thing he was in was, oh man, The Killing of a Sacred Deer is probably the biggest thing he was in starting off. And then after that, he was in Dunkirk. And then that's it. Those are really some of the two only movies that he's really been in. He's been in some other stuff like Stand By, Norfolk, Traitors, Stay, Life's a Breeze, but nothing big. Those are his two biggest movies so far is Dunkirk and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I mean, the guy seems intelligent for his age, of course. You know, I don't think he's... I think he's like, what, 18, 19?
No, he's born in 92.
Oh, so he's 19.
92?
Oh, wow.
No, he's...
29? Yeah. Holy shit. Oof.
Yeah, he's almost 30.
I don't know why I thought you said 02.
No.
I really don't know why I thought you said that, so that's why I kind of... Holy shit. He's almost our age, basically.
And he's born and raised in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay. Huh. But, I mean, it seems like a decent enough guy. I don't, you know, obviously he's taken this from somewhere. You know, and part of the reason I thought he was younger is they kept calling him a kid.
Well, I mean,
you know, and I'm just like,
he's probably playing a high school student or somebody in that age group. I mean, because daughter is like 14.
So he said he was 16.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's funny about all this is literally like, in one interview, the director is like, you know, the boy is in charge of a much older man's life. And Colin Farrell was like, much older? Well, damn. And he just starts laughing and all that. I thought that was funny. But
What do you think of Colin Farrell, though? Is he an actor that, you know, is he one of those actors that you just have to go out and see some of his stuff?
No.
No?
Not at all. I mean, he's kind of one of those that is a random kind of deal, because I mean,
he's in a lot of stuff. He's also going to be in the new Batman movie coming up next year with
as a Joker,
the Penguin.
Penguin, that's right.
With
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson.
I mean, he's all right, but I mean, he's definitely not something I've just got to go see. I loved him in SWAT. I thought he was awesome in SWAT.
He's in the new Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm not even sure if I'm going to see that, for that matter. He was in the second one as well, Crimes of Grindelwald.
Fright Night, you kind of seem to enjoy Fright Night.
Fright Night, yeah. I'd say that's probably my favorite of his so far.
Total Recall?
Never seen it.
No?
No. He was in Warcraft.
Miami Vice?
Never. I don't watch shows like that, to be honest.
It's a movie.
Oh.
The remake of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I think this is probably one of his better performances, I would say. What do you think? Did you not enjoy him in this movie?
It was all right. I mean, I feel like he was the most intertwined with the character. I feel like he was the most brought out, as in how he was trying to act and portray.
The scenes where the kids are crawling, any of that seem creepy to you?
Yes. No, it's not seem. It was. It was just like, okay, you know, the fuck are you doing? Like, just call out. Like, I can appreciate, you know, like, the director wanting to make them seem like they were really trying to still have their own kind of independence, you know? And I like that about it. But other than that, yeah, it was creepy as shit. It was just like some exorcist shit. Like, yeah. But... I don't know. Some of this was kind of hard to really not really like or watch, for that matter, because the flow of the movie, like you said earlier, it was easy to watch. That wasn't the thing at all. A lot of it was the dialogue and how it wasn't really the dialogue, but it was more how it was presented. Because it just, I don't know, it's almost like he told him to go monotone on a lot of things, you know. And when, like, the scene where Martin and Anna are talking in Martin and his mother's house, after my dad died, you know, they told me the fact that I ate spaghetti like him. And I almost was, you know,
the spaghetti scene is a very popular A24 scene, to be honest with you.
Like,
it's a huge meme.
I'm not, yeah, I can imagine. Honestly, that would fit a lot. But I'm not saying it's a bad scene. I'm just saying I'm using that as an explanation, because he's literally basically like telling the wife of, or Anna, who plays the wife of Steven,
that spaghetti did look dry as hell, though.
My mom wants to fuck your husband, and he wants to as well, because he's always flirt when that's not the truth. He literally just bareface ass lies to him, or lies to her. You know, he just is starting shit. He's a little instigating bastard. And literally, with that being said, you know, she believes it and goes off and does some regrettable things with the anesthesiologist, who's supposedly a friend of Steven's, Colin Farrell's character. And just gives him a handy in the little rover in the parking lot. You know, just whatever. Like, yeah.
And then some of the dialogue just seems really, really out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's talking about, like, menstruation cycles.
Yeah, you literally, like, Colin Farrell's character goes up to the anesthesiologist in a formal, like, ball party or whatever, an awards party. And it's like, oh, yeah, my daughter's menstruating now. And it's like, the fuck? Hold the fuck. And then, you know, in like two scenes later, or a scene later, she goes up. She just, first time she's ever met this boy. Oh, yeah, I just started my period. Like, what the fuck? Why?
I don't think this is something that probably, what do you think? Do you think with more watches you would appreciate it more? Or do you think you would just probably
understand it more?
You think?
I think so, yeah. Because, I mean, okay, one of the things I've seen and, what is it?
Before you get on to that, though, guys, we're going to get ready to talk about some movies that have some A24 vibes. Whether it's not, if you're joining us for the first time, this is kind of a new segment we started. It doesn't necessarily, it's not an A24 movie, but it just has those vibes. So if you guys want to play along, send us your movies that you think have some A24 vibes, and we'll read them in the email bag on Monday. So that's what we're going to get ready to get into. Ed, what movie would you like to name this week that has some A24 vibes?
It was the one. It was another one I was thinking of last week. Nerve.
Nerve.
Nerve. With Dave Franco,
Emma the Roberts.
Brother.
And is it Emma Roberts?
Yes, Emma Roberts. Yeah. She's from Scream Queens. Wow. As well as he is from. Neighbors. What is that?
He's in an A24 movie as well. He's in The Artist with his brother, James Franco.
Yeah, he is the younger brother of James Franco, for that matter. So, I mean, you know, he's got a bit of a history with acting and all that as well. But, yeah, I would say that would kind of give me those feelings of, dang, okay, you know, the way this is kind of seems that way in a way, to me at least. Because I really, really, really like that movie, actually. So, yeah.
Whether you guys like it or not, we are still going to review this movie one day. And a listener emailed me about this movie years ago, and I checked it out, bought it. But no, Ed, you let the cat out of the bag earlier. Mine is going to be Antichrist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Has really big major A24 vibes.
So the funny thing is, we've kind of had a going joke about that. If you've listened for at least the past 2 years, we've had a bit of a joke about that, and it's nothing, you know, bad or anything like that. It's just like, this movie is out there. So, I mean, if you've ever seen it, you know what we're talking about. If you've never seen it and you don't mind the movie that's kind of going to fuck with you.
Well,
yeah.
The funny story behind the whole process is the funny thing behind Antichrist is a listener from way back when emailed the show and told me about it. So I was like, I'll check it out. So then I bring it up on Recent Watches, and I recommend it to somebody, or I recommend it on Recent Watches. So if you guys listen to the Monday episodes, every week we talk about what we recently watched and maybe what we recommend. And I recommended it one day. A couple weeks passed by, we get an email, and it's like, for somebody who recommends Antichrist, you're a sick fuck. And so I got those kind of emails. But no, I think...
Which, apparently there's a German edition that's even worse than the regular standard edition.
Well, I don't know about the German edition, but there's only it's Willem Dafoe, directed by Lars von Trier. So if you're into any of those movies, if you know that director, you already know that it's going to be out there. But no, getting back on track, this movie is just, it has those A24 vibes, literally from the beginning all the way to the end. And, you should definitely check it out. I'll kind of go over the plot. So, I mean, a grieving couple retreat to their cabin in the woods, hoping to repair their broken hearts and troubled marriage. But nature takes its course and things go from bad to worse. Highly recommend it. If you like weird, dark, disturbing shit, I recommend it. Antichrist is the movie that I pick and nominate for some A24 vibes. So, like I said, I recommend it. Go check it out. The ending of The Killing of a Sacred Deer is something that is almost this. The last 20 minutes or the last 15 minutes is what I and why I see it as a disturbing drama / horror movie. And we'll kind of explain it to you if you want to get into the conversation, please email us about the movie.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where Colin Farrell takes the family.
Yeah.
And he ties them up, blindfolds them. And he puts him down by in the living room, and he takes his shotgun and he takes his gun and he puts his blindfold on and he goes pretty much like a pin the tail on the donkey.
Kind of like when you're about to go ahead and do pin the tail or like you're doing a pinata. Pinata, perfect.
And then he puts the blindfold on himself and he goes into a circle and he just starts. Taking random shots.
And he goes in counterclockwise as well as clockwise the next time. Because when he misses the first time, I think he was going clockwise. When he does the second, he goes counter.
This has, this kind of reminded me of, not the actual feeling of it, but the ending felt like a Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, a lot. I've heard some people say that.
It felt like one of those movies, like it had some Shining vibes, if I can use those words. That's how it felt to me. So if you're into some of that weird, disturbing, early Stanley Kubrick, Shining, or any some stuff like that, like I still recommend this movie anyway. Whether you agree with my star rating at the end of the episode or not, I still think this movie deserves at least a viewing. If you're into horror, if you're into any kind of disturbing, gross shit, I feel like you should at least watch this at least one time. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's gonna be. It's not going to be your kill 'em all, blood everywhere.
It's not a gory, bloody horror movie. But I think if you're into just that kind of style, I feel like maybe you should give this a watch. I know our buddies over at Friday the 14th podcast who review and talk all kinds of horror movies. I'd be interested to see what they feel about this. Maybe not review it as an episode, if you will. But if you guys want to give it a listen and let us know what you think. I think it'd be this is just a weird, disturbing movie. So you should check it out. It's on Netflix. You have any? So after he puts the blindfold on, he shoots and kills the boy.
Yeah.
Boy's dead, which I think at the end of the day is Martin's goal. I think he wanted the boy out of this equation.
Yeah.
So he can fit himself in there. Obviously, it's not. It didn't happen.
Right.
But the boy's out of the equation. The boy died.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, it's, I don't know. It's kind of a messed up ending and all that. I was at first going for the girl to go because literally like she was almost entranced with the boy.
Yeah, but she's the love interest, so you're not gonna have her die.
Right.
Not unless you have like a Romeo and Juliet ending where she dies and he kills himself.
Right.
I could see that happening.
Right. So then, you know, the mom goes off and does what she did because, you know, she expects or she wrongly assumes that he cheated on her, which, like I said, wrongly. But, you know, then I was just kind of like, eh, fuck her. Never mind. That's bullshit. You know, whatever. But he doesn't do that. He's not happy with her, but he stands by her. And a big scene in that. I mean, okay, so the part with him with Steven is strange because literally
Steven Strange.
I know, right? Didn't think about that. He likes to have sex with his wife as a person who's under an anesthetic. So essentially, in a way, a corpse or a rapist, basically. Like, he
doesn't want her to do any kind of...
Right. Like, he just... Yeah. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. That was weird. But in one of the later scenes, in probably two-thirds of the movie, she does her position, basically, and all, and she bears it all, Nicole Kidman does. And he just basically looks over at her, turns off the light, and just starts to go to bed. And it's just like, that's the defining moment of their relationship there. Because he separates himself quite a bit from her.
Doing some fantasy thoughts on this movie, yeah. I was kind of flirting around with the idea where we've done some fantasy booking with these weird A24 movies before in the past. What if he just made up the boy? Right. I know that's not the case.
Right.
I mean, what if he just made up the boy and he's the one doing all this to the family? You know what I mean? He's the one that's like...
Tyler Durden kind of thing.
Exactly. But that's to me, I mean, that's not the case. So after the boy dies, I thought, you know, there's no funeral. There's no nothing.
Right.
There's just...
Or at least we didn't get to see it.
Right. There's no mentioning of anything ever again. They go to the thing that irritated me about the ending is, and again, spoiler alert, go check it out on Netflix. The very, very ending, the mom, the daughter, and the husband, they go to the diner and they see Martin.
Yeah.
And then it just ends.
Because, I mean...
I really did not like the ending.
I mean, honestly,
I didn't mind the whole, you know, blindfold Chris Benoit shooting, killing. I didn't mind that.
Damn.
I knew, because it's dark. Oh. It's really, really dark. So go and check it out. I didn't mind that, but I didn't like the whole ending as far as, like, it's done.
It was very just like, okay, we didn't give a shit about the boy. Kind of like what the mother or Anna or Nicole Kidman's character says. Just off one of the kids, we can make another one.
Exactly.
And it was just like, damn, like, you're the mom. You went through a decent bit of pain for that shit. Like, you know, it's supposed to be one of the worst pains that any human can feel. And you went through it not only once, but twice. And you're just like, eh, fuck them. Let's do it again. We can do another. We're in good health.
What did you think of the whole, just the shooting scene? Because, I mean, I've seen this three times. I saw this once for the episode, once when I bought the movie, and then once in the theater. And the theater in the scene was disturbing because you have him turning and then just boom, out of nowhere, you have that big shot.
And so what did anybody, do you remember the audience and how they felt about it?
Just like any A24 movie I saw in the theater, there's three of us.
I mean, did they like, holy shit?
It was quiet.
It was quiet.
Silence.
Damn. I don't know. I didn't mind the scene, but at the same time, it just seemed like a very, very desperate. A lot of this was kind of desperation. And it was playing exactly into the boy's hands, exactly what he wanted, exactly how to, you know, and all that. So it's just like, why are we doing this? You know what I mean? But then I kind of gotten to read on about the... what behind thought of the movie. And basically I came across this. So it's kind of the Greek myth of Iphigenia, daughter of King Amynon, or Agamemnon, I'm sorry. And pretty much he's told to sacrifice Iphigenia because of a killing. What is it?
Edward has having a stroke here, ladies and gentlemen. Give me just a minute.
A killing of a sacred deer belonging to the goddess of Artemis. So basically he wants revenge or justice for whoever, or for, I guess, King Agamemnon killing his deer. So he wants Agamemnon to kill Iphigenia, his daughter. And yeah, he just strolls on by like, oh, hi, good morning, kind of thing.
So I didn't enjoy the ending. I mean, Martin just strolls into the diner, orders water with no ice. There you can already tell he's a fucking weirdo who gets water with no ice. No, I'm just messing with you. And then he sits there and he just looks at the family. And, you know, the family just look at each other. They don't even, the only one who really acknowledges him is the daughter. And then they just get up and walk out. And it's like, boom, the story's over.
Which I've got to say, I still feel a bit of like resentment towards her. Because it's almost like a adoration, wanting, you know, kind of feeling still. And I get that, like, you know, in a bit of a relationship, especially when you're very entranced and, you know, intrigued and in, you know, what you feel as love with someone, it's not that easy to just let them go. I get that. But, like, if you killed my, like, if you had all that and eventually my sibling ended up passing because of something you did, fuck you. Like, no.
I just, not a fan of the ending. I get it that it's, like, just drawn out. Then you get one final stare. You know, Nicole Kidman looks at the boy. The daughter looks at the boy. But Colin Farrell just does not look at him.
He gives him kind of a side-eye glance.
Barely.
When he's walking by him, he kind of does that little back glance, and that's all kind of a pissant kind of thing. You know, and that's all he does. And he just is staring at him like, damn, they left me? They really left me? Like, I was supposed to take that place.
Well, that's a good point that you brought that up. I didn't think about that.
Because he's just looking at him like, why are they leaving me? You know?
If I had to name some favorite scenes, though, I would probably say the scene where he gets introduced to the family for the first time, and he gives, like, Martin gives the family gifts.
Yeah. It's a very strange thing, because literally the daughter he puts a bit of thought into, and the son, he kind of, oh, fuck off. Here's this. There you go.
The dialogue between when the boy starts crying blood.
Oh, yeah.
Between Colin Farrell and the boy. That dialogue in between that time, I think that's some pretty good, strong shit. They're just sitting there talking like nothing's happening. And it's to me, it's a really... It's kind of frightening looking. The boy's just bleeding out of his eyes. And they're just kind of like talking like nothing's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of that is trying to keep the son calm. But at the same time, just like...
Damn. And then the weird conversation and the awkwardness of the first dinner that you see.
Yeah.
Between Nicole Kidman saying that, you know, her kids have great hair and stuff like that. It's some of those... felt real awkward. So
it is like a decently awkward movie. It really is.
And then something about the creepiness of the last like 15 minutes. I enjoyed the last 15 minutes except for the ending diner scene. What about you, Ed? Did you have any favorite scenes that you want to point out through this movie?
I mean, there was a couple that kind of caught my eye a little bit more. One, and I know this is weird, but one is the second I don't know. Like I said, the scene where Colin Farrell is just laying in bed. She comes up.
The second sex scene?
Yeah, strips and just lays there. And he just kind of looks over at her and then just turns the light off and ignores her. And the main reason I like that scene is because it shows the separation from each other. And it shows, like, they're kind of... She's trying to connect with him because she feels a little bit of sorrow for what she did, but at the same time, he's just like, "No, I'm good. Fuck it. No, I'm okay. I'm good." As well as I don't know. Probably, I'd say the the scene where they go and have the like formal dining party or whatever. That one kind of sets up how strange and awkward everybody is with each other, for that matter. In a way, it's kind of hard to put in words, but in a way, it's not, because literally, they go and he's given the speech. She is told that the anesthesiologist is going to go and go to the bathroom or have a smoke or whatever. And they come back and then they just talk about how his daughter's menstruating. And it's like, the fuck is wrong? Like, I get that they're medical professionals and they probably see it in a different way, but it's like, why are you telling another grown ass motherfucking dude that, oh, my daughter started her period, so hey, it's on now. Like, stop. It's cringy as shit. It's awkward.
Like I said, you guys can go check this movie out on Netflix and let us know what you think about it. Give us your star rating, and we will read it aloud on Monday's episode when we talk John Wick Chapter 3. Ed, Killing of a Sacred Deer, your star rating?
Honestly, I know you're probably going to not like me too much, but I'm going to give it a 5.
Nice.
Honestly, to really probably appreciate it, you'd have to watch this shit a few times, but I just don't really have an interest in watching this anymore.
You don't want to appreciate it.
Not really. Just the whole, I don't know. It does not make me really want to watch The Lobster at all.
The Lobster at least has some comedy behind it. The Lobster at least has something for you to laugh at. How this is just a little stale.
This is pretty fucking dry.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, the movie is pretty fucking dry, but like, this is fucking Popeye's biscuit dry. Like, no drink.
I am going to be not too far behind you. I'm going to give this movie a 6. This is just one of those that I thought would be a little bit better the third or fourth time around. Yeah. But yeah, no, it didn't get, it didn't get that much more better. I originally had given this movie a 7, but I think, it didn't age very well for me, and I don't think it's got that good of rewatchability with it. So, me personally, I'm going to give this movie a 6. But you guys check this out, and you go give us your star rating. Let us know what you think about this movie. Like I said, it's on Netflix, The Killing of a Sacred Deer. A24 talk continues, as next week we're going to talk It Comes at Night.
That, I think, is going to be a fun movie. Because I was... Honestly, I've never seen it. I've been so hyped to see it, though.
Really?
But since it came out, and it was, what, 2016, 2014?
2017.
Oh, it was 2017. Okay, so same year this was. But, yeah, I had heard of this. I knew about this one. I just haven't gotten the opportunity to see it, basically. So, yeah.
This is also on Netflix. So, It Comes at Night. We're going to talk about it next week. Horror, mystery, sci-fi, stars Joel Egerton. Ed, you're pretty excited about next A24 movie?
Yeah, I really am. I really am.
And then Monday, guys, July the 19th, we're talking John Wick Chapter 3. And then the week after that, Monday, July 26th, we're talking District 9. And then the first Monday of August, Ed, you're going to like this, we're going to talk... A Quiet Place Part 2, August the 2nd. I recently watched it for the first time this past week.
Oh, okay.
And
crazy, right?
Can't wait to talk about it. I think it'll be a fun episode. We were going to originally talk Stillwater with Matt Damon, but I think with A Quiet Place Part 2 hitting Blu-ray so fast, I think we got to talk about it. It's one of those movies, one of the most anticipated movies of 2021, right? It's supposed to be 2020. But yeah, we're going to talk about it August the 2nd. So, Quiet Place Part 2, send us your star ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Also, send us your star ratings on John Wick Chapter 3, and let us know your top 5 Keanu Reeves movies, as we will discuss the top 5 Monday. As we do every Monday, we come up with a new top 5 segment for you. But, Ed, is there anything that you want to call it a day on the killing of a sacred deer?
Man, this was just a strange ass film, and it's I give it a 5, and I do understand that, but at the same time, I'm not saying it's a bad film. It's just definitely not what I'm interested in. I appreciate it for its artistic value. I appreciate the effort and, you know, the story plot and all that. But other than that, yeah, no. So, yeah, this is Ed saying I will see you on the silver screen.
All right, guys. Don't forget, check us out every single Monday as we talk your fun favorite box office juggernauts. Next week, right here on Thursday, the series of A24, we talk It Comes at Night. But don't forget, Monday, July the 19th, we talk John Wick Chapter 3 right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.